Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text today, the words of John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And again the next day, when he was standing with two of his disciples, he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This is our text. Last week, we heard how John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. And when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and the voice of the Father spoke, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Today, we get what comes after that. We get John the Baptist in the time after Jesus was baptized. We hear what John did and said next. The next day, it says, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, after hearing the Father's voice at Jesus' baptism, declaring him to be the Son of God, it might make more sense for John to go around proclaiming, "Behold, the Son of God." We get these two titles, Son of God and Lamb of God. And John, instead of calling him the Son of God, he says, the Lamb of God. And why is it? Why is it so important for John that we know Jesus as the Son of God? Why does he identify him that way for us? Why is it so important that Jesus be not only the Son of God, but also the Lamb of God? Why? Because knowing that God, knowing that Almighty God is here, isn't necessarily good news. We need to know why the Son of God has come. If Jesus is the Son of God, we could ask, is this Son of God here to redeem or to revenge? Is he here to comfort or to condemn? You see, power and might can cut both ways. For us or against us. And if John points to Jesus and simply says, "Behold the Son of God," we learn who he is, but not what he comes to do. If someone knows that God is almighty and nothing more, then that person doesn't really know God. Perhaps you know someone like this who would confess that God is almighty, but that's about where it ends. Because an almighty God leaves a lot of questions. Such as, if God is almighty, or we might say if he is only almighty, then why the raging fires in Australia? And why the earthquakes in Puerto Rico? If God is almighty, then why the shootings that seem to happen nearly every week? If God is almighty, then why, God, why the troubles in my life? If you're almighty, why don't you stop these things? Or maybe then you're not almighty, actually. Or maybe you're almighty, but you don't really love us or care for us or want to help us. Maybe we can't really count on you. You see, an almighty God, but otherwise unknown and unknowable, is a frightening God. Is he the God of sunny days or of hurricanes? Is he the God of spring flowers or winter blizzards? Is he the God of love or of war? Which Son of God is here? It's a little bit like walking down a dark alley when you know someone is there with you. And you can hear the heavy footsteps coming. It's someone big. But who is it? You can't see him. You don't know his intentions. The fear starts to tingle up your spine. And then he steps into the light to be with you as a friend, as a helper, as a protector. When that person in the dark comes into the light as a friend, that is good news. That's what you need. Fear gives way to peace. And that's what John says you have. Not simply a Son of God in the dark who may be coming with those heavy footsteps. But you have the Son of God, who is also the Lamb of God, the friend of sinners, the companion of the downcast, the one who lifts up those who are low. He has come to be not simply a noise in the dark, but your Savior close by. And John wants you to know who Jesus is, and he wants you to know why Jesus has come. And that's the reason he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." You see, this Son who comes is the Lamb, and the Lamb is the Son, and in him you see how God actually does love you and does care for you and does help you. Why, he comes to lay down his life for you. He's come to take away your fear and give you peace. He's come to be your peace with God by taking away the sin of the world, by taking away your sin. And I know, sometimes it sounds like the same old when you come to church, like a broken record of sin and forgiveness, and sometimes we wish for something more practical, something more about daily life. And that's why some churches stop talking about sin and instead talk about all the ways to improve your life. But don't be fooled. Sin really is the problem. The regrets you have, the skeletons in your closets, the habits you can't break, the sin that breaks families and friendships and churches and causes you to do and be what you don't want to do or be, and the sin of others against you, and the sin that has subjected the world to futility and makes the whole creation groan. That is the problem. And the other part of the problem is this, that for too long we've been trying to take all of this away by ourselves. We've been trying to remove sin and its effects for a very, very long time by our own efforts. Think about how our world operates through laws or through psychology or through science or through motivational speaking or through this year's New Year's resolutions or through doing things in the name of God. We would take away sin and its effects. But it hasn't worked. And we can't do it. Sin is still here, and the pain and hurt that sin causes is still here, and it's too deeply rooted in our human nature. And just when you think that you got it under control, well, you know how it is. That sin mutates, it changes, it evolves, it takes different shapes and different sizes, it hides, and then it reappears in 1,000 different ways. And so there are still crazed gunmen, and still floods and earthquakes, and still trouble in our lives. And yet in Jesus we have one who is like us, and yet different. We have one in Jesus who is true man, but also true God. One who came to be one of us, but then to be and do what we never could. He comes as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he doesn't do it by destroying us or obliterating the world, but he does it by taking the sin of the world on himself, taking your sin on his own shoulders, and then he is destroyed in your place. You see, our Lord steps out of the Jordan River as the Lamb of God, taking the sin of the world right there to the cross. That's what Jesus does. He takes away the sin of the world by putting it on himself and then nailing it to a tree in his own body. And so sin is on him and not on you. And he is your forgiveness and he is your freedom and your life. And this is what Jesus is still doing yet today. The one who went to the cross with our sin still comes today through his word, through his holy sacraments, to take the forgiveness he won there by his life and death and apply it to you, give it to you, credit your account with his forgiveness. And so today as we gather, this is what Jesus is doing again, delivering peace and delivering freedom and removing the bonds and the shackles of sin. That's what he's doing. Every single time there's a baptism and in every absolution, whether it's done together as a congregation, or simply with a pastor and an individual person. It's what he's doing every time his body and blood are received in faith. There and there and there, behold the Lamb of God forgiving sin, giving life, promising salvation, still taking our sin and our death, and is still exchanging with us his forgiveness and his life. And that really changes everything. Because even if you get swept away in a flood, even if you were to get gunned down by a crazed man's bullet, even if you were to be crushed under the burdens and diseases of this world and life, even if sin sneaks up on you in a million different ways, still, you have hope. Yes, you even have more than hope. You have confidence because you have the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, our confidence isn't only in God's almighty power, but it's that the almighty power of God is held by the Lamb of God, who is your friend and your Savior. The one who came and took away your sin. The one who made you a child of God. The one who promised you the gift of everlasting life. A gift that's really his to give, because he died and he lives to prove it. He is the resurrection and the life, and he can resurrect, and life is his to give. And with that confidence, you and I are learning to live a new life. By faith, we are set free from fear. Faith in the God whose love we know and whose love we've seen laid in a manger and baptized in the Jordan and hung on the cross. You know, if he didn't love you, he wouldn't be there. He wouldn't have been in the manger. He wouldn't have stepped into the Jordan River. He wouldn't have hung on the cross. And if he didn't love you, he wouldn't be here for you today. But he is. It's no accident that every single Sunday we sing the words of John the Baptist in our communion liturgy. O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. The same Jesus in the Jordan River is the one who places himself in the bread and wine on this altar. And what we eat and drink here is more than just bread and wine. It's the true body and blood of the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, the Lamb who gives his life that we may live, the Lamb who gave his life for you on the cross, and the Lamb who now gives you his life in his supper. The Lamb who lived and died for you, that you might die and live with him. So he isn't the Lamb of God who came to show you your potential. And he isn't the Lamb of God who came to show you how to improve your life. But he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who makes you and all creation new, now by faith and fully when he comes again. Behold, the new has come. And the old is passing away. And already the new is present in Jesus. Already in this place, through his word and his gifts, the new is breaking into your life and into this world, breaking in with Jesus' work for you here, with his gifts, breaking into the world as you daily die to sin and live the new life he gives you. And as you, walking out of this church, point out the Lamb of God to others. You see, it's not your job to make others believe. It's not your job to make their life good or fix all of their problems. But it is your job and mine to point like John the Baptist to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Like John broke into the lives of his disciples and Andrew came and broke into the life of his brother Simon Peter. And so we also break into the lives of others. With the newness that Christ brings, with that forgiveness of sins, with help in time of need, with love when they are cast down or cast out, with a word of hope when all seems hopeless, and in so many other ways. The Lamb of God breaking into the world, even through you. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, behold today the Lamb of God wrapped up for you here in his word and in his holy sacrament. Rejoice in him. Rejoice in what this Lamb of God has done for you, and rejoice in what the Lamb of God is giving you now. And rejoice in what the Lamb of God is doing through you, making himself known as the Savior of the world. For the child born for us, the Son given to us, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away your sin. And truly, there is no greater gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.